This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views conveyed by the guest on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information shared by the guests on this program are those of the guests and are for informational purposes only. They should not replace the medical advice of your veterinarian.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. This week, autumn pet safety tips and signs that your pup may be a picky eater. That's what's on our show this week. Let's get started.
Come here, babies. It's time for a treat. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's national award-winning author and animal advocate, Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves. Thank you for joining us today as we bring you the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Contact us at thedoggydiva.com. That's the doggydiva.com. We love hearing from you, so go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. Monica Layton, president of Professional Pet Sitting, is here with us with our pet tip of the week. Monica, we're in fall. Things are changing, you know, around the country, leaves are falling. Even where we are, there's a little bit of, you know, change in the outdoors and the weather. Do you have some like autumn safety tips that you can share with us?
To start out with, even when it's not so, in Florida speak, horrifically hot during the summer.
Why does it not?
Yeah. So it doesn't cool down a ton for us here. You know, it does cool down, and our friends up north, you know, we'll already see that as well. But even when it's not completely cool, it's not winter weather, you know, it's just starting to not be so yucky hot outside, because people kind of correspond that weather with our parasites. You know what I mean? It's summer. You got all of your fleas and ticks, you know, they're breeding away with that hot environment that they like. And then you think, oh, it's cooling down. You know, they're going to be dying off. Well, not so much for our ticks when it comes to the fall weather. And a lot of people don't always remember that fall can breed a great little habitat for our ticks as well. Things to watch out for, you know, for our ticks in the fall: eliminate the ticks' favorite environment, leaves, garden litter. Those are all things that ticks can thrive and multiply and survive in. Especially into the winter months. Making sure you're checking for ticks frequently, using your tick control products, essentially when you're going hiking, camping, hunting, all of those great things to do when it's not crazy hot out, all of the things we like to do and get out into, you know, the environment, is really, really being careful about ticks during that time of the year. Make sure you're doing your tick screenings when you come back in, and definitely check, you know, the Companion Animal Parasite Council. We've talked about this a couple times, but, you know, they do that kind of monthly updates that people can go online and see what is in your area during, you know, that specific time. And you can go in there, your location, and it'll tell you how prevalent things are in regards to ticks, fleas, heartworms, and then some of your worms. But it's a great tool to look for if you're not exactly sure where you're located, if, you know, something as far as a parasitic nature should be something that is still a heightened level at that time frame. But definitely making sure about your ticks is number one in that autumn checklist. As we're getting on to some of our parasites, we're moving into our rodents. fall is the time of the year when the mice and the rats and the rodents start to scurry and looking for places to go to seek out warmth. And where do they find it? Of course, you know, places we don't want them to be, you know, like our sheds and our attics and our garages and, you know, trying to get in wherever they can. Of course, you know, being ultra careful when it comes to our mouse traps, you know, whether it's the sticky ones, the flap kind, you know, any kind of rodent traps can definitely cause issues with our pets and our wildlife. So always when it comes to our pets, being really, really careful about what traps you put out. Also spraying, you know, a lot of us have companies that come out and do all of our spraying and treatment of things. So being really cautious about what's sprayed around for our pets. Also like granules, like rodent insecticides, rodent poisons, making sure that anywhere that your pet could come in contact with, you know, has been thoroughly checked out there to make sure that there's nothing left behind or put out to try to keep rodent control underhand. A lot, and I mean a whole lot of the rodenticides that they use can cause very, very toxic reactions in our pets. So if your pet does get any kind of rodent killer or anything like that, or gets into any of it, definitely seek help with your veterinarian immediately. Or contact, you know, the pet poison helpline to get instructions on how much they got and what needs to be done, because something like that is a time of the essence type thing. Third are funguses that are among us. Mushrooms. Fall's a great time. You have all these little plants and things, you know, the forests start to bloom again. Leaves are falling everywhere. It's gorgeous, but mushrooms are starting to pop out. A lot of mushrooms are very benign, no issue, unless you are a mushroom enthusiast who can definitely tell the difference, which, I mean, the majority of us, I don't believe, are. Definitely staying clear, because you do have those few and far between mushrooms that can be found all over the U.S. and a whole lot of different places that are very toxic to our pets. So making sure that they're not out there, you know, scurrying, you know, a ways ahead of you on the walk, and
you don't even see them, and they're down there, and they go
absolutely. So I mean, it happens so often. Clients will call, freaking out. Oh my god, they ate a mushroom! What's gonna happen? Do you know what kind it was? No.
I only know the kind that are in the grocery store. I look at the ones that are out in the yards, or when we walk in out in the field in the dog park. I don't have no clue. I just look at them and I go, danger. They could be totally harmless, but I always err on the, you know, the side, go, no, too. I'm a little cautious here.
And, you know, another thing too is feeding the right amount. So, you know, I know we've talked about, you know, in the past, feeding per your weight, you know, keeping your pets at a good weight, because that does alleviate a lot of, you know, health issues. But some things that when you're in an area that is getting colder and cooler temperatures, and you have dogs that are active, they burn more energy trying to stay warm. So if your pet is burning more energy trying to stay warm, then food may need to increase during that time of the year. And I'm not saying, oh gosh, you know, it's starting to get to the cold season, better add on another half a cup to the food here. You know what I mean? Like, it's nothing like that, but things to watch if, you know, if you do have an active pet that is getting a good amount of exercise during the cooler weather, and you do start to see that they're not maintaining their weight like they were, if you're starting to see the weight come off, you know, definitely talk to your veterinarian, you know, make sure that it's not, you know, an illness issue, but, feeding a little bit more during that time of the year for some pets is warranted and needed to keep up with the amount of calories that they're shedding between physical activity and trying to warm themselves. So that's always a good thing to check up on. You'll get the occasional cases that, you know, we'll have clients that travel back and forth during the year. Of course, that's in Florida. It doesn't get that cold here to where I definitely don't have that issue. I do not lose weight in the warm weather.
Me either. Mine stays no matter. I'm pretty much the same summer, winter. Oh, that's right. In Florida, summer, winter, fall, winter, everything's the same anyway.
Yes. But we have clients, you know, that go up north for part of the year. And, you know, and they'll talk about that. And, oh, you know, he lost a little weight this winter. I don't know why. And, you know, we've been feeding the same amount. And it's one of those, you know, very active dogs mm-hmm. that, you know, is not the couch potato. He's not chilling out, enjoying, you know, the heat in the house. This dog's like out there, like there's pictures of them, you know, doing crazy paths in the snow, chasing things around outside. You know, they're enjoying the weather, but they are staying very active. They're burning those calories and they are exerting more energy than they are generally typically used to in the warmer weather. So always something to keep an eye on. Of course, going from warmer to cooler weather often means holidays. And entertaining and food and snacks. So, you know, of course, watching the foods and all of our toxic foods, making sure that our pets are, you know, getting our pet food and not our human food too much. And last but not least, of course, our antifreeze. There's nothing like winter up north than, you know, the whole needing to change out the fluids, such as your antifreeze. Mm-hmm. And, you know, knowing how to do that carefully, how to inspect your vehicle, making sure that everything around it is cleared, no antifreeze that, you know, our pets or wildlife get into. I know with antifreeze, it's literally 1 to 2 teaspoons is enough to kill a small dog. A very, very, very small amount. When you start a vehicle, of course, kind of giving it a nice little couple pats there on the hood area, making sure that no animals have crawled up in there trying to keep warm at night. It's the last thing you want to do is start driving and end up having a cat inside the vehicle anywhere, like in the motor, or animals that kind of curl up in there to stay warm. So always giving a nice little couple taps when you go before you start your car in the morning. And, you know, last but not least, just being careful of our decorations. Again, you know, talking about holidays and, you know, making sure that, you know, tree lights and trinkets and decorations that we put out around the holidays do not contain anything that could cause toxicity if chewed, or, you know, a foreign body ingestion, things with little small pieces that can easily be batted off or taken off and ingested or played with. So always some things to look for when it comes to, you know, the fall time of year, just to keep our, you know, our pets safe and happy and enjoy that really great time of the year without trips to the emergency clinics.
Number one goal, having done it many times. So, well, Monica, can I just ask you one favor? Can you just give out, and we talked about, and I've gone into this before, I won't do it again, but about how my pets, because my neighbor, we do everything like very pro animal, pro safe, our yard, but our neighbor had purchased pellets, poison, you know, the rodent controlled pellets at a local hardware store, which are very, 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 they're very potent. And all three of mine they almost died. And so I had to rush them to the vet and we didn't know what it was. And what happened is we had a rainstorm and it came in under our fence into the grass. And so that's how it happened. And our guy actually found it. He said, these aren't yours because we didn't put them here. And we went and it was the lady next door. She didn't know. So you just have to be careful, not only in your own yard, but in your neighbor's yard. So could you just give out that pet poison hotline, the helpline, one more time?
Absolutely. So the website is petpoisonhelpline.com and their phone number is 1-800-213-6680.
Again, everybody, I know we've talked about it before. Put it in your phone so you don't have to go looking for it.
Yes. You know, some people, like you had said, you know, your neighbor may not have pets. They may not be pet people and they'll have no idea. And, you know, that happens so much. I mean, especially in some of the, you know, warmer states where we're getting rain and it just, you know, it ventures on over and gets into your yard and then the pets are walking through it. They're licking their feet.
Yep. And that's exactly what happened. So you not only have to be careful of your own, you always have to have your eyes open, I guess is what it's all about. You never know. And your little Halloween and your Thanksgiving decorations, I make sure that you keep them all so that they're all safe from that too. You never know. So, well, Monica, as always, these are great tips where, you know, in autumn, Florida, we're down in the South. It's one thing and we're still finishing up hurricane season, and up north they're starting for the change, which I'm from up north, so I do miss the changing of the leaves. And, you know, it starts to get a little cooler. So these are all such great nationwide tips. So I thank you very much, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Have a great week.
You too. We'll be back in just a moment. Hello, everyone. Susan Marie here to tell you about the award-winning three-book series, The Doggy Diva Diaries. It is a trilogy of heartwarming and inspirational stories about Miss Olive, a lonely little rescue pup, hoping to find her forever family and friends and a life filled with love. In this series, Miss Olive learns that it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside, it's the kindness and love you have on the inside that counts. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other online booksellers. And please visit us at thedoggydiva.com for more information. Thank you, everyone. Coming up, is your pup a picky eater? We have some answers. Stay with us.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your Cat Tree Tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. As a pet parent, I not only want to ensure that my pups eat a healthy diet, but that the food that they eat is great so they love it and that they spare me the stress of becoming picky eaters. With us today is Kim Gablin, canine relations specialist at Bill Jack Foods, to share helpful advice if your pup just might be a picky eater. Hey, welcome back, Kim.
Thanks for having me on, Sue. It's great to be here.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you. And now, this is such a very touchy subject for pet parents who may have picky pups. What are some ways to encourage picky eaters to actually finish their food, kind of like enjoy their food?
There are a lot of picky eaters out there. And so we do get a lot of picky eater questions from pet parents about, you know, what can they do to kind of make that all work better for their dog? And so I think it's really important that you're trying to set your, whether it's a puppy or your dog, up for healthy eating habits. And so, you know, there's a few things to make sure that you're doing right to make sure that their eating is very consistent and you have a plan for them. So, you know, for example, you know, making sure that you know who's feeding the dog every day. And are you feeding them once a day, or are you splitting up their meal into two meals? And so you're feeding them in the morning and then again in the late afternoon or evening. That's really important, because if you keep switching around things like that on your dog, that can make them be a little bit picky, right? They don't know what to expect. They don't know if they should eat or not eat. So having some consistency is really very important as well. You know, being able to use the feeding guidelines on the bag is important. You know, not overfeeding them or trying to overfeed them. Or, you know, if they're not eating, you know, trying to add people food, that's never a good idea. So, you know, once you start doing that, then there can be kind of that added expectation that, hey, I'm not going to eat, Mom, until you kind of bring me what I want to eat. You don't want to encourage that behavior by adding people food or feeding them from the table. You know, I think it's important to find a dog food that your dog likes and sticks with that. You know, sometimes dogs can actually remember, right, what they had last time, and they ate that last time and it might have upset their stomach. Maybe it didn't digest very easily for them. And so there's really a lot of pieces that go into kind of making a food and having it be appropriate for your dog. The ingredients that are used obviously have a big impact on how digestible a food is, you know, so how easy it is for the dog to digest it, to use it, to then excrete it, right? So what's left. But, you know, it's also sometimes how you cook it. You know, if you think about having broiled chicken for dinner versus having fried chicken for dinner, right? You might feel a little bit differently after you have the fried chicken than you do after the broiled chicken. And so it can be for your dog, right? If it's prepared differently, that can make a really big difference. So, you know, so being able to change that food and find a food that your dog is liking is really important. You know, at Biljack, you know, we find that's really important. You know, we use fresh chicken and we use 25 pounds of fresh chicken to make our 30-pound bag of Adult Select, for example, because we really feel like that's a very good, healthy protein that's good for dogs to digest. And so that's really an important part of what we do. But then the second piece that we do is we actually cook it very gently and over time, right? Not quickly, not, you know, not in a couple of minutes, but over time for a longer time. And so it kind of simmers in its own juices. And then that really kind of helps again to help protect those nutrients because they're not cooked at a high temperature. Those two things can really make a difference on how your dog does. And so, you know, and because of that, we've created actually a line of Picky No More dog food, because we've gotten so much feedback from consumers, from pet parents, right, that really it makes a big difference on what kind of food they feed their dog. And recently we just launched a puppy version, because yes, even puppies can be picky eaters. So it's really important to be able to kind of find a food that really makes a difference. And we really feel like on that Picky No More food, that the difference is that we've added not just the fresh chicken, but also chicken liver to this recipe. And that, you know, that makes sure that the nutrition is covered, but also kind of takes that taste and smell up a notch to increase the mealtime excitement that your dog has.
Well, and you know, I've talked about this in the past, that Francesca, our little angel, but she mm-hmm. would have been 18 this month.
I saw that the other day.
Yes, she was very, we went through a finicky time in her eating, and you know, we gave her this, and I'm telling you, she loved it. She ate, she got back on schedule eating regularly. So that food is absolutely amazing, and it does the trick. But you know what I wanted to ask him? Sometimes when dogs aren't eating, it could be because of a food sensitivity. What should pet parents understand if their pups have a food sensitivity?
Yeah, well, you know, I think there's a couple things to talk about here. You know, and first of all, I do want to remind everyone, if your dog is, you know, maybe they've gone a day without eating, day and a half, and they're also lethargic, they're vomiting. I mean, that's not a picky eater, right? So I also want to remind everyone, you know, if you have a dog that's not eating and is lethargic or looks sick or is not feeling well, you want to make sure to talk to your vet. You know, we're not talking about that kind of a picky eater. We're talking about somebody, you know, somebody, a dog that may not be eating on a regular basis, right? Or a puppy that might not be eating consistently, let's say, you know, they might not be eating, you know, more than a meal a day or whatever, or if you're splitting it up into two meals. So I want to make sure that there's a big delineation about that. You know, dogs can also have food sensitivities or tummy sensitivities for a variety of reasons. And, you know, a lot of pet parents suggest food allergies if their puppy or dog is sensitive. But, you know, it's kind of interesting. Back in 2018, Banfield Pet Hospitals did a study over a year to look at dogs and actually test them for food allergies and food sensitivities. And they determined that only 0.2% of dogs were affected by actual allergies. So, you know, again, we're kind of getting back to that whole sensitivity, right, about how is the food made, like what's in the food, and then also how is the food cooked, because that could also make a big difference to your dog. And sometimes changing your dog's food can make a really big difference to how they do. And you know, occasionally, Sue, it's really interesting, and I think we're all guilty of it, that if something's going wrong with the dog, you're always kind of thinking that your dog, maybe it's the food, but it could have been that they, you know, got into the garbage, that they got into something outside. There might be something else that's also irritating them, you know, it could be an air allergy or the carpeting, you know, those kinds of things, right? So sometimes it's kind of hard to tell these things apart. So it's important to, you know, kind of take a look at all of that and then, you know, take a look at what kind of food you're feeding. And, you know, there are some sensitive formulas that are made specially for sensitive dogs. You can find them by, you know, a lot of times they do say they're sensitive. Sensitive Solutions is one of the ones that Biljack has. Those foods tend to have things like chicken or fish in them. So I know that Biljack uses a combination of chicken and fish. And they also tend to have formulas that have like immune support. So that could help additionally a dog that is a little bit more sensitive. They may have, you know, certain vitamins like vitamin C and E or omega 6 and 3s to be able to help support a healthy skin and coat. So those are some of the things that you're going to want to look for in that Sensitive Solutions. Many of them, and I know Biljack Sensitive Solutions has, they have probiotics in them. And probiotics are, you know, healthy, basically healthy bacteria that help your gut. And those are really important and helpful to be able to have healthy digestion as well, having that right balance of probiotics in your dog's digestive system. So those are some key things that, that make things a little bit different about the sensitive solution formulas versus maybe just an average adult formula.
And that's very important to know. And, you know, what makes Bill Jack dog food a healthy solution for today's pet parents? Not only for the food, you have such a large, very pet parent friendly solution for food issues, but also your treats. You know, and I always talk about the Little Jacks, and I now have a very small dog, and I got the light lower fat Little Jacks for her, and she absolutely loves them. So you have like a little something for everyone. You know, what makes Bill Jack such a healthy alternative for us?
You know, we recognize that dogs come in lots of shapes and sizes, and they have different challenges or opportunities or likes and dislikes. And so as a result, you know, we have, like you said, we have food for puppies, whether it's a picky puppy, like our Picky No More formula, or our Sensitive Solutions formula, or our senior formulas, reduced fat if your dog may be overweight. You know, that's also an important thing. So we try to have a lot of different recipes available for your dog. And then, you know, as we look at treats, it's really important to us too, you know, just like we worry about, you know, and are concerned about and think about all the time, the ingredients that we use to make it and how we make it. We do the same thing with our treats. So we use a lot of chicken liver in our treats, and they make our treats nice and smelly and yummy.
I love it.
Yes. I mean, it's great. It's hard to walk in the door without the without your dog knowing that you have some treats on you, because they just, they can even smell them through the package. It's amazing. So, you know, we, you know, again, we take that same care in, you know, and sourcing that chicken liver and being able to use that and then gently make those treats by gently cooking it so that, you know, they get, again, that taste and that aroma that comes from having their food prepared well. And so that's really kind of critical, you know, to what we think. And we have different sizes, right? So we have, like you said, we have Slim Jacks, which is a low fat treat, and training treat. You don't see those very often. And then also we have Little Jacks, which are great for training. They're small treats. If you have a larger dog, Original Recipe might be great for you because those are larger treats that you can use. So we really have a variety of different treats, and we even have some digestive support treats. So there's really a variety of treats that are available so that, you know, again, you can kind of mix it up and keep it fresh with the treats, and you can kind of give them some really great food, you know. And we also have wet food. You know, we get a lot of compliments on our wet food. People really feel like it adds a lot to their dog's meal, and they feel like they can give them something a little bit special, a little bit different, add something a little extra to their food every meal. So it's great. You know, it's exciting to hear people give us great feedback on how their dog is doing, because, you know, we really hear those challenges, right? Whether it's picky, you know, having a picky dog, or a sensitive dog, or, you know, they're not sure what to feed their puppy. You know, we really want to make sure that we have those options available, but, you know, we also have a lot of information online to be able to look at so that we can kind of help be a partner with you in raising your dog and helping them be, you know, as healthy as they can be.
And that's what I want to ask. Where can the listeners go to learn more about Bill Jack, all the, not where they can get the food? And you have a lot of information on your website, and you have a great newsletter. Can you share that?
Yeah, you know, we were just talking today specifically about Picky No More and Picky No More Puppy. Bill Jack is available at PetSmart stores. The Picky No More line and a lot of our line of food and treats is available at PetSmart. The puppy, the Picky No More Puppy, is available at most stores, but you could definitely find it online. We're also available at Chewy. And I know that Pet Supermarket also has some of our treats, and Pet Supplies Plus also carries our food and our treats. So there's lots of different places to be able to find us. You can certainly come out to our website at BillJack.com. That's a great place to start. And we have a lot of information there. You can actually type in your address or your zip code and find out, you know, the store that's closest to you, and do they have the formula that you're looking for. And we try to do our best with that. I know it's not always perfect, but we try to do our best to be able to get that information to everyone. And we also have a place for you to sign up for our monthly email, our Best Friends Club, that we send out once a month with offers and information. We kind of keep you up to date on all the new products that we're launching and that kind of thing. So it's a great place to kind of stay in touch with us without having to go out and fetch that information yourself.
And it's really great, Kim, because I love all of everything that you guys have. It's so great. But I love to get that newsletter that the, you know, every month it gives me something to look forward to. And you have very interesting stories. And it's really a great pet parent companion, I'll put that way.
Well, that's great to hear. We really enjoy putting it together and writing it. And it's one of those things where, you know, we can kind of share information, you know, hopefully it's simple, it's easy to read, and it's fun, it's not too long. And so, but it gives you enough information, right, just to learn a little bit more about your favorite furry friend.
Well, Kim, I want to thank you so much for being our guest today and for sharing such helpful advice for pet parents who may have pups that are picky eaters and are looking for a solution to ensure that their pups are healthy and happy. We always want them to be happy. So thank you so much. As always, you brought us great information, and we're looking forward to talking to you again soon.
I'll look forward to that too, Sue. Thanks.
We'll be back in just a moment.
Pet Life Radio, the number one pet radio network on the planet, joins forces with iHeartRadio to put the power of your pets in your pocket.
Awesome.
Download the iHeartRadio app and rock Pet Life Radio on your phone, on your tablet, on your Xbox, in your car. Pet talk, pet tunes, and fun pet times. Pet Life Radio and iHeartRadio. Positively possum.
We would like to thank our guests this week, and also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of The Doggy Diva Show. To find out more about Susan Marie and the Doggy Divas, visit them at their website, thedoggydiva.com, and on Facebook at The Doggy Diva Show. Tell your fellow pet parents about it. We look forward to having you join us again for the next episode. See you soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.